Well, good morning. My name is Ryan Bosser, and I'm the Life Group Director here at the church. One thing that's a big part of my life is working out. And about 3 or 4 years ago, I started to notice a little bit of pain in my right shoulder when I was working out. And so it started off as kind of like a dull pain that I feel every now and then. So I would, back off a little bit and take a little bit of a rest and maybe, try some ibuprofen and then I'd try to get back into it. But it just seemed to never want to go away. And in all actuality, over time, it started to get worse and worse and worse. And I noticed the most, interesting enough, when I would try to bench press. That's really when I felt it. And so I finally decided it's getting so bad that I should probably go in and see a doctor. And so that's what I did. And the doctor had me go take an MRI test. And then after my MRI, he delivered the bad news to me, which was that I had torn a labrum in my shoulder and that I was going to have to require surgery. And at the time, I think what for me was so discouraging about that injury was that there wasn't any one single instance where I knew that I did something to hurt my shoulder. In fact, it was really just what the doctor described as, wear and tear on, my body and my shoulder in particular over time. And the way he really described it to me was just kind of an overuse injury. And I tell you that story because that's a lot like what's going on in the book of Exodus and then the life of Moses in chapter 18, where we're going to camp out today. Over the course of the last few months, we've been in this series of Exodus where we've looked at this very real idea of how God delivers his people from bondage into freedom. And one of the primary ways that God did that at this time is through Moses. Moses was kind of there to lead the people and really represent God through all this. And so but along the way, what we start to see is that that took a toll on Moses, and that caused a lot of wear and tear on Moses. Like, it started out when God called Moses out of his home at the time and asked Moses to go back into Egypt, a land that he was kind of like a wanted man and had previously been exiled. And once he got there, then God asked him to defy Pharaoh, who was like literally the most powerful man on planet Earth at the time. And then it was through Moses that God delivered the 10 plagues to Egypt that we talked about here not too long ago. And then finally, even when Pharaoh said, okay, the Israelites can go and they can worship God, then Pharaoh just kind of quickly changed his mind. And then there was that dramatic scene where Pharaoh's army started to follow the Israelites as they left out of Egypt. He kind of backed them into a corner at the Red Sea. And then all of a sudden, again, dramatic scene. God, through Moses, parts the Red Sea. The Israelites go through the Red Sea on dry land, safe. They get to the other side, and as soon as that happens, Moses releases the water, and it crashes down on Pharaoh's army and decimates Pharaoh's army. And then, like what we talked about last week was, it almost felt like the Israelites had not even gotten on dry land on the other side before they started to complain and wear Moses out again about the fact that they didn't have any food and they didn't have any water. And so really, that's kind of where we come to today in the point of this story, really a critical moment, because what's going to happen is that Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, is going to come into the scene. He's bringing Moses' family to be there and to be part of that. But it's as Moses is kind of feeling wore out that Jethro is going to come in, and he is really going to offer Moses some life-altering advice. And I believe that for us, it's going to be just as life-altering if we lean into it as well. So let's go ahead and let's open up our Bibles to Exodus chapter 18. We're going to start in verse 13. And the first thing that I want you to see is I want you to see the reality of what's going on. And the reality is very simply that work has to be done. That work has to be done. Verse 13 says, "The next day, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening." Okay? So so the people are coming to Moses, and they are wanting his guidance, his wisdom. When it says that the people were coming to Moses and that he was judging them, it's literally that he was providing them wise counsel. And so the point of that really is that the bottom line is that this was work that had to be done. And I think it's important for us to be able to use that as the starting point of recognizing and accepting the reality that that work exists. You know, work has to get done. You know, somebody has to provide for your family. Somebody has to, help take care of your children. Somebody at your work has to be the one who is going to get the project done. The same is true, you know, for us as a church and what goes on in our body. You know, somebody has to be here to set up and tear down everything that we see here on a daily basis. Somebody has to, you know, be here to, you know, make the coffee. Somebody has to be here to be back in LifePoint Kids to, one, you know, spiritually invest in the lives of our kids, but also, I mean, if we're being honest, allow all of us adults the freedom to be in here and to worship together while knowing that they're taken care of. You know, that takes work. And I think sometimes what happens, and this is a very American problem, I think, or I'll say outlook, is that, you know what, like the work, it's not really that big deal. You know, it's really not that big of a deal. That stuff has to get done. You shouldn't make it out like a big deal. I mean, I know it's a lot for you or a lot for me or whatever, but I mean, come on, you know, it could be much worse. And so really then we're left with feeling, you know, kind of like this sense of guilt of, well, I know that it's work and I know that it's a lot and I'm kind of feeling that squeeze, but well, I mean, is it really that big of a deal? I mean, the same is true even in a Christian context. I think can almost get even worse kind of looking at it from a Christian context, because if we're not careful, then we start to kind of twist scripture around a little bit and look at the whole, well, you know, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So that means I should just be able to do it. And if I can't do it, that means I'm not strong enough or I don't love Jesus enough or whatever. And the bottom line is that it just starts to really produce in all of us this sense of guilt. But the reality is that work is very real and work has to get done. And it's not just going to get done by itself, okay? But now there's a second part to that. And that's the second thing I want to look at, is because there's a lie involved with our work. And the lie is very simply this, that I'm the only one that's going to get it done right. Okay? Look at verse 14. When Moses' father-in-law saw that he was doing for all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is it that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone and all the people stand around you from morning till evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me and I decide between one person and another and I make them know the statutes of God and his laws." Okay, so Moses' response, really acknowledging the reality that hey, work is real, work has to get done, is a sense that, hey, you know, people are coming to me about it. And on the one hand, that absolutely was true because of the position that God had elevated Moses to in terms of kind of this leadership. That was true that, you know, the people were coming to Moses. They were, you know, kind of starting to really, as we talked about, you know, kind of wear him out or whatever. Now what happens in moments like this primarily is that really two things tend to happen, okay? The first thing that tends to happen when I recognize that work needs to get done, I take it upon myself to be the one that's going to go do the work, because ultimately, if I'm being really honest, I don't necessarily trust anybody else to be able to get it done right. I mean, they may get it done, but they're probably not going to get it done the way that I would like it to be get done, and then I'm just going to have to go do it over again, or I'm going to feel really disappointed, whatever. The first thing, though, that tends to happen when you and I think about or start to have that in our mentality is the exact same thing that Jethro pointed out to Moses when he said that Moses sat alone. And what that means, you know, very simply, is our tendency isolate ourselves from other people when there is work that needs to get done, and we start to think, you know, I'm the one that needs to do it. I'm the one that has a lot on my plate. And so really there just becomes this extremely narrow focus on getting all those, you know, things done, which is absolutely fair. The reality, though, is along the way, if you and I aren't careful, and what Jethro is pointing out to Moses is that he sits alone, and we will isolate ourselves from other people because we are so focused on all of the work that we have to do. So that's the first thing that ends up happening. The second thing that ends up happening, and this is difficult for us to realize, is the tendency then is that you and I will become very self-absorbed in everything that we have going on, to the degree that we can't necessarily see anything else that's going on around us, including other people, people we love, people we care about, maybe even people that are trying to help us. It's interesting that as Moses responds to Jethro and says, well, you know, but I mean, the people come to me about what they should do about God, and the people come to me about this and all these, and Moses' response is, well, you know, but I'm the one that's going to tell them what to do. You know, I'm the one that's going to, you know, whatever. And I mean, the reality is, I mean, Moses wasn't exactly the only guy that was there. You know, sometime like somebody brought up in our life group not too long ago, it's kind of funny when we read a lot of what's going on in Exodus, and we're reading these dialogues back and forth between Moses and other people of the Israelites, you almost get the feel like it's like this really like small group of people, like 5 or 10 people, whatever. But the reality is we're talking about like 1 million Israelites that were now, you know, leaving Egypt and kind of taking on this new nomadic life or whatever. So, I mean, the reality is that Moses really wasn't the only guy that could, you know, help answer some of these questions and help the people of Israel at this time. But that's the weight that he started to take on himself, starting to believe the lie that really I'm the one who's going to be the one to get it done right. Okay. So now the next thing is, okay, the next thing is what we see is the truth. Okay. And the truth is just very simply, if I keep going at this pace, eventually I'll break. Look at verse 17. Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone." So, I mean, just like what I was talking about with my shoulder. I mean, you know, the reality is that I could do the work. You know, I could lift the weight. And really, on the outside, it looked like everything about my body, about my health, all these kind of things or whatever, like it looked relatively okay. But all along the way, what was happening inside of me was that my body, my system was starting to break down. And that's essentially what now Jethro is pointing out to Moses. Is like, hey, listen, if you keep going on the pace that you're on, I want you to know that eventually you are going to break. And the same is true for you and I. I know for me, I felt that a number of years ago when I first moved up to Ohio and we started to go to Life Point Lewis Center at the time, and we were a smaller church at the time. It was it was very similar to what it looks like now, you know, here in Westerville. And so there were a lot of needs. There was a lot of work that needed to get done. And so so not too long after we got there, you know, some people in the church came to me and they said, hey, we could really use some help leading life groups. Those are our small group of people that, you know, that meet during the week. And I said, okay, you know, I can help out and I can do that. I'll lead a group. And then not too long after that, I started to notice that there was a lot of life groups available for women and being able to support women, which is great. That's amazing. But there really wasn't a lot available for men, you know, for men to connect relationally. And so I asked the church about it, and I'm like, hey, I don't understand. Why is there, you know, this stuff for women and there's not any for men? And they said, well, because we don't really have anybody to lead it. So, I mean, if you'd be really, you know, to take it on yourself and you would lead it, then we could do it. I'm like, okay, you know, I can do that. I'll take that on. Then it wasn't too long after that somebody from LifePoint Kids came up to me and they said, hey, you know, we could really use some help, serving in the small groups and teaching the kids back in LifePoint Kids. And I said, okay, you know, I don't have a problem with that. I'll go back and I'll help out a couple times a month in LifePoint Kids. And then it wasn't too long after that we got involved with, really through our kids' school, a bunch of Somali families who were refugees that, like I said, were going to our kids' school at the time. And what they really needed was they needed some help with filling out their paperwork at school, in reading, because they were behind the power curve when it came to reading. And also, too, just kind of bridging, helping the school system bridge that cultural gap with the Somali families. And so we started to get involved in that, and that kind of really snowballed into a ministry in and of itself. And what I started to feel along the way, if I'm being honest, was just very worn out. I felt like I just continued to take on, and again along the way, the irony of that as really I needed more people in my life to be able to be a part of that. Just like what we see with Moses, I started to isolate myself more and more. And my tendency was to be, you know, very self-absorbed in everything that I needed to do. Now, here's where it got interesting for me, just to be honest with you, is that in the midst of my self-absorption, because I was so focused on what I needed to do, the fact that, well, you know, God, that means you empowered me. You must think that I'm pretty awesome. You're on my side with this, so I'm going to go all this or whatever. I became extremely critical and judgmental towards other people who I felt like were not doing the same type of work that I was. And I mean, I would get to the point where it was like, hey, listen, you have a lot more time on your hands than I do, but I'll take the time to do, you know, these things or that things. I don't understand why you're not doing it. Oh, I guess you're just not as committed. You're not as all in, and on and on and on. Listen, none of that was true, but that's the lie that I started to believe just as I began to isolate myself and focus in. And the reality is that eventually it got to the point where I felt so isolated, which is ironic, because if you would have asked anybody else that knew me at the time, they would have said, you know what, man, I mean, like, Ryan's like my best friend. I didn't have any friends. I didn't have any friends that I would let into my life and to be close with, you know, because of that. And it got to the point where I just absolutely broke. And I'm talking about broke as in, like, you know, like spiritual, mental breakdown, need to go into counseling, need to have some medication to assist me with that. And really along the way, which is unfortunately the tragedy of all, the only thing that I could think to do was I need to run away from all of these responsibilities that I have that just feel so heavy in my life right now. I just need to stop. And the danger for you and I, and where I think a lot of us here in this room end up being, is that we feel that weight and that pressure of the work that needs to get done. Because like I said, it's real. And our tendency is to take on more and more and do more and more. But if we're not careful, the reality is, and what Jethro is saying to Moses at this time, is you can absolutely do it, but only for a while, because eventually you're going to break. And that's what happened to me. So what are we supposed to do? How do we prevent this from happening? Okay, let's keep going. The next thing is, and this is going to be an incredible promise. It's not a solution. It's not a solution. It's a promise, but it's an incredible promise that Jethro is going to provide to Moses, and how it is that we are then supposed to navigate this. And the promise is simply sharing the work with others provides direction, endurance, and peace. In verse 19, it says, "Now obey my voice, and I will give you advice, and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God, and bring their cases to God, and you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws, and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, men who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, and of fifties, and of tens. And let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, God will direct you, and you will be able to endure. And all this people also will go to their place in peace. So very simply, what Jethro says to Moses, and I believe the same of what he says to you and I is, you know, we need other people in our lives to be able to share the burden and share the responsibility. And to take it one step further, we have to be willing to allow them into our lives to be able to give them permission to help us along the way. But Jethro is recognizing, hey, eventually this burden is going to be too much for you to bear. You are going to break. And in order to prevent that from happening, I want you to enlist other godly people in your life, people you trust who can be friends, who can be helpful for you. That's literally why for us here at LifePoint, you know, one of our core values is authentic community. It's why it's so important for us to do things like life groups and to do things like life teams where we're sharing the work, we're sharing our lives. We're just putting ourselves in the position, honestly, to have good friends. Good friends who can speak into our lives in moments like Jethro is doing to Moses here, but then also to have, you know, good godly friends that can be able to share the work in the way that Jethro is telling Moses. I think of it a lot like weightlifting. Okay, so I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. I'm going to have a couple people come up in here and help me. I'm going to have Jared come up here, Zach, and then Virgil are going to come up here. And they're going to give me a hand in what I'm talking about here, okay? Because basically what the advice that Jethro is getting to is a lot like in when we're lifting weights and in the whole idea of using a spotter. You know, that's why the title of the message is, you know, can I get a spot? So the idea when it comes to working out, Virgil, you come over here on this other side. Well, you can say, but Jared, you're back here, okay? So, you know, the idea is when I'm working out, on the one hand, I could go down here and most likely, at least right now, you can back off, most likely right now, you know, I can, yeah, let me show, I can do a little bit. So I can do this weight on my own, okay? All right, now, just like we talked about when my shoulder started to break down, the problem is, and the problem that we face in all this is that it becomes more and more wear and tear over time. So it helps us when we have a spotter. So in this case, one of the ways that you can do a spotter is, like, I have Jared back here, and Jared's going to help me out. He's going to give me a little bit of lift off. Oh, okay. And so I come down, and I can kind of do it. I'm like, oh, yep, I got a little bit. But now when I start to struggle because the weight is coming on, Jared is there, and he's able to, you know, start to prop me up, okay? So that's the first way that we kind of look at a spotter. But now, what's better when it comes to weightlifting, and really what allows us to be able to stretch ourselves and grow a little bit more, is when we actually have other spotters to be able to help. Now, this helps it out even more. So I've got Jared over here. He's still behind me. And he's still guiding the bar, but now I've got Zach and Virgil over here, and really they can catch on and they can help out even more. So now Jared's gonna guide me down, but then Zach and Virgil are gonna be right here on the ends of the bar, and now all three of them together are coming up, and then we're down here. Come on over here. And you guys come on over here. So that's the reality of what Jethro is saying to Moses is listen, you need godly people in your life to be able to share this burden. Guys who you trust, guys and gals that you trust that can be there with you, okay? You know, I know that I can look and I can rely on these brothers. They're godly brothers. They're strong. A matter of fact, you know, Zach and Virgil, Not too long ago, last week, they got involved in a CrossFit competition. That was a big deal. I actually did it as well. It was a partner type of a competition. So we had a little bit of a competitive thing going on, but we had fun with it, right? So one of the fun things was we came up with team names. And so for my partner Casey and I, he's not here. Our team name was David and Goliath. I'll show you what I mean by that here in a second. And now, for young Zach and Virgil over here, they were apparently just very confident in their abilities and their strength, and even more so about how much they were going to destroy me and my partner. And so they came up with a very clever name called Team Crying Ryan, because they were going to, that's how it was going to end up going. So I think we have a picture of the results from the competition. And so I'll notice on the end there, Team David and Goliath, that's my partner Case and I. I'll let you decide which is David and which is Goliath. We finished with a respectable second place. You know, that's not bad. But interesting enough, what's absent from this picture is, Team Crying Ryan, happens to be a little bit absent from this picture because it didn't go as well for Zach and Virgil. Now, I wanted to be able to support them. I'm their brother, okay? And so maybe as a consolation prize, what I decided to do to support Team Crying Ryan was I got each of them some eye drops because maybe they were the ones doing a bit more crying after that competition than Team Crying Ryan. So thank you, guys, and go. All right, hey, let's give these guys a round of applause. You guys go ahead and go back. So in thinking about, though, this isn't just a practical piece of advice that Jethro is giving Moses, okay? Because there's a promise involved with what Jethro is saying to Moses. And he's saying that ultimately three absolutely incredible things are going to happen if you and I are willing to really get beyond ourselves a little bit, humble ourselves, and allow other people to come into our lives and to help us when we need this kind of help. The first thing that says is that in sharing the work, we're going to have direction. And I mean, and think about that for a minute, because I don't know how it is for you, but when I'm so focused in on all of the work that I need to get done, and I'm feeling the weight of all of that, and it just feels like I can't even plan, a week from now, because all I can do is just have enough energy to get through the day. How interesting it is for us that so many times we lack direction and we're asking ourselves, God, what am I doing with my life? I don't understand what's going on. What's your plan for my life? Why am I here? Why am I doing this? But the first promise is that God will provide us direction. And then the second thing that Jethro says is that God will provide endurance. And I mean, that is an incredible statement in and of itself. Because like I said, eventually it will get to the point where the burden of your responsibilities and my responsibilities, it will break you. But what God is saying through Jethro to Moses is that most of all, when you allow other people into your lives to be able to help you, to be able to be in relationship with you, to give them permission to talk to you and to help you, that you will have a sense of endurance and a sense to withstand all of these things, which is incredible, because for me, when I'm in those moments that I'm feeling the most pressure and the most tied down and all of that kind of stuff, man, I feel absolutely worn out. And I don't even know if I'm necessarily going to make it through another day. But now God is saying to Moses through Jethro that there is going to be a very real sense of endurance in your life. And that's what we need most of all. And the last one I think is great. I think this one is so great because in the midst of all of the work and all of the weight and all of the responsibilities that you have, and in the times where you're saying, I don't know how it is that that I'm going to get my kids from this one to that one, to this sport to that sport, because all I feel like is a taxi cab driver. And I don't know how it is that I'm going to take the time to, you know, help out at the church on a Sunday, because it almost seems like that's the only day that I get off. And I don't know how I'm going to take on one more project at work, because they just keep loading it on, because I'm a pretty reliable employee. And it just feels like there's this fog that goes on in our mind of just a lack of clarity and a lack of rest in our lives. And most of all, what Jethro says to Moses is that there will be peace. That even in the midst of the chaos of the work that you're trying to do and everything that you're trying to take on, that it is absolutely possible to have a sense of peace and to be able to navigate all of those responsibilities and to bear the weight of those responsibilities in doing so with a sense of peace. Now, the last thing that I want to talk about is the fact that ultimately what Jethro is saying to Moses, that Jethro's advice is the gospel. You know, because it's really easy to walk out of a message like this and say, you know, what Jethro is talking about to Moses is just really good time management principles. I learned that stuff in business school. That was a great reminder of how I need to better manage my time. That's not the case at all. What Jethro is preaching to Moses is the reality of the gospel. And the gospel says very simply this, that the reality is that there is work that needs to be done in order for us to have salvation. That because of our sin and the things that we've done, that there is a weight and there is a burden, and it is very real, and it bears down on you and I on a daily basis. That's very real work that needs to be get done. Heavenly work, godly work that needs to get done. And so what ends up happening for you and I when we don't involve God in any of this, what the gospel reminds us is that in not trusting Jesus, then our tendency is that we are going to most likely work towards our salvation, and we are going to do anything that we can in order to earn God's love and God's favor. And that means I'm going to continue to take on, and I'm going to be involved, and I'm going to live a good life, and I'm going to try to be a good person. I'm going to do all these things so that ultimately I am trying to work my way to God. But ultimately, God says it's too much. The weight of it, the weight of what you're trying to do, the weight of the work that you're trying to do now, in the weight of the sin that is very real and will not go away, that eventually you will break. And so that's why God sent Jesus. And what's interesting about the way that God sent Jesus to deal with this is that God sent Jesus not necessarily just to be a spotter, to be a helper, like those guys were helping me, although it's absolutely true that in our spiritual journey that there will 100% be times, and hopefully a lot of times, where Jesus comes alongside us and helps us be able to get through life and navigate life rightly. But this is different. This type of weight, this heavenly salvation weight, in this moment, Jesus looked at us and said, no, you don't need a spotter. You need somebody that can just take the weight from you. And that's why Jesus sacrificed his life on a cross as payment for our sins. And in a way of saying, this weight is too much for me to bear. This weight is too much for you to bear. And so I am going to take it on for you. And he did that so that we could be in relationship with God forever. And that's the encouragement that we have. And that's what Jethro is coming back and reminding Moses that what you need most is not just better time management skills and not just a bunch of people in your life that you trust, although all of those things are good things. What you and I need most is to first accept the gospel if that's never been a step for you, but then number two is to remind ourselves of the gospel day in and day out, to accept the fact that I can't always take on all of the weight and the responsibilities that I'm trying to do, that eventually I am going to break. Just like I trusted Jesus to take that weight for me, I need to take small steps in whatever that looks like on a consistent day-to-day basis to enlist other trustworthy, godly people in your life and in my life to be able to bear the burden with you and I. That's the challenge that we face. Will you guys pray with me? If you're here today and you've never taken that step to say, I transfer the weight of my sin and my shame and the way that I've been living my life over to Jesus, and I accept the reality of what he's done on the cross, then I would love to help you through a prayer that would sound something like this. Heavenly Father, I am tired. I have grown weary from the burdens of my life and the burdens of accepting my sin and my shame. And I don't want that anymore. I want to turn that over to Jesus. And in this moment, God, I'm trusting that in Jesus's grace, that he is accepting the weight of that and sacrificed his life on the cross so that I would not have to do that. God, that's what I need so much in my life. And will you be with me? Will you guide me? Because I am taking this step today to be able to trust in you. Now, if you are here today and you feel a lot like me, that the reality of the day-to-day grind and all of the responsibilities that you have, in all of the deadlines, in how it feels like the weight of all of that is just crushing. And there are times in your life and in my life where I don't even know if I'm going to get through the next day. Man, maybe that's you and you're here today. I don't know. Hey, while your eyes are closed, I just want to know who I'm praying for right now. Your eyes are closed. Just raise your hand today if you feel like you're in a moment, in a time in your life where life is busy, life is crushing, the burden is too much, and man, I don't always know how I'm going to get through another day with all of the responsibilities. Would you raise your hand? And nobody's going to look. I just want to know who I'm praying for. Thank you. You can put them down. Heavenly Father, we are a burdened people. We are a busy people. And God, that's why we need you. We need you so much in our lives to be able to remind us of the beauty of the gospel and how just as much as you bore the weight and the burden of sin and death, that you are absolutely capable of doing so on a day-to-day basis. And Father, I pray that you will give us boldness in our lives to be able to talk to other people about what it is that we're going through, about having the humility in our lives where we can ask others and say to others in an honest way, hey, you know, I need some help. You know, I need some prayer. I need something that's going to be able to get me through the next day, because ultimately I don't want to break. I don't want that to happen. God, help us be a people that remembers the gospel and surrounds ourselves with others in gospel-centered, authentic community. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.